Welcome in, everybody. It is Inside the Gamecocks, the show. We are live from the mountains to the sea in the great state of South Carolina, coast to coast, nationwide, and worldwide via the Chief Sports Network app. I am Phil Mad Dog Mullinax, cutting through the orange fog of the upstate of South Carolina. And JC Sherbert is my co-host as usual. Welcome in, JC.
But you're not in the orange fog.
We're not. We're up here cutting through the purple haze of Western North Carolina. How about that?
Is that a reference to the Catamounts of Western?
It is indeed.
Yes. The alma mater mention. So, yeah, just to lead things off, news at the end of the morning show, Mike Boynton Jr. has been named. Was he named interim, or was he?
I can't
say interim. Is it an interim tag?
Maybe it is. Interim seems like it would be the right call right now for something that quick, unless, you know.
Unless they just said he's our guy. I mean,
we are talking about Morty, you know.
Yeah, so. Okay, interim coach. Yeah, interim, that's right. Okay. According to Pete Nakos, who had the story earlier. And I'm going to send a nice tweet out.
Yeah.
Hats off to him. Really good guy. Was worked hard, obviously, was here as an assistant, the point guard under Eddie Fogler and Dave Odom. Had a really good senior year, led the Gamecocks to the NCAA tournament. And now he's back in the saddle.
Yeah.
So.
It'd be interesting. I wonder if there will be – I wonder what the thought is. Are they just going to let him run out this season? Or, you know, is this kind of a – you get a trial run?
It'll be like most interim situations, you know, kind of depends on how he does.
Yeah. I wonder if they're going to – that. My thought was, are they going to try to grab somebody between now and the fall, which seems kind of crazy. But coming off of Natty, you got to prove
it. It's so late, though, dude. Like, I guess basketball – I wasn't quite sure when South Carolina – like the men's team started off-season workouts. It's in summer too, kind of at the end of this month. And so in basketball, you have it's a little all right. So, like in basketball, obviously you can play basketball, 5-on-5, 3-on-3, whatever.
Yeah,
and you can work with your team and all that. And so you kind of need a coach for that, right?
Yeah, somebody's got to lead.
Somebody's got to coach. And it's just, and then you throw in the fact that your chances of probably holding onto your roster, and there's no guarantee they don't have to stay just because you're promoted from within.
Right.
But if, you know, as far as kids, players being comfortable, you know, Boynton, Boynton is a, probably he's got a relationship with everybody. He's recruited a lot of those guys.
Yeah.
And they're probably all comfortable and rolling with Coach B. And now we'll see what happens. But what a turn. I mean, you won the national championship, and then in June your coach leaves.
Right.
Wait, hey Ward Manuel. the Gamecocks got the best of old Ward regardless. They screwed it, you know, the playoff crap and all that.
Yeah.
Now he's got to hire one of our own for the.
He's got to promote a former Gamecock for the position.
Yeah, there you go. So we're going to get your money, Ward, anyway.
That's right.
We're going to get our pound of flesh. I guess that's a pound of flesh. I don't really know, but I'm really happy for him. And it's just always good when. The more your alumni, your former players do well in life and coaching or whatever, the better it is for your program, I think. For a long time, Carolina didn't really have many former players that were out there coaching and especially at the college level. But you see it more and more these days, like in football especially, a lot of former players have gone into coaching. And that's another thing I don't think that gets overlooked about the value of playing college sports is those coaching jobs in the big sports, even in the not so big sports, they pay pretty well.
Right. Yeah.
You get to stay involved in the game. I mean, they're really, as far as just
what's a good job? That's a good job. That's a good job. Now, being an assistant's tough because not all of them, the majority of them are still on like 1 year deals, 2 year deals tops. And you got to move a lot, you know, you move your family a lot. So it's not all sunshine and rainbows, but the pay is really good. I've noticed that, I mean, you know, look at how many former players Carolina has. You know, Travion Robertson, Deion, I covered Deion Barnes as a recruit. You had Sterling Lucas, who I covered as a recruit. He went to NC State, but he's a former player. Clayton White's former player at NC State. I mean, you know, there's a lot of opportunity that's been passed down to college athletes. I mean, Mike Furry. He is Northern Iowa, but he, you know, played in the NFL all those years down. He's a coach, you know, that kind of thing. It's a beautiful world when things like that work out. So congrats to Mike Boynton for getting that done. Great to see Jay Frew this weekend. By the way, I said that before. He had a little message for me in the chat box. Cam said he kept it civil till he got back to the low country. Yeah, Craigor and Lance and Cam were having a blast. Lance had a big blast. Pimp on a blimp earlier, we were just talking about the confidence in the team, and he's like, don't count your eggs before they're in the basket. Yeah, I used the don't count your chickens before they hatch analogy earlier this year. I said, no pun intended, or earlier today on the message board. No pun intended, but I was like, maybe, no pun intended, maybe. So Cam says he had an interesting conversation with one of the tight ends about Shula. And he said, let's just say they're excited about playing for Bryles. Yeah, I mean, and look, the tough part about that, Cam, is there's some guys that are not very good coaches. And there's been a few. I'm not going to name names. You know, a few over the last two coaching staffs. You know, not only were they not very good, they're kind of buttholes at not to me. It's kind of funny because most of the coaches that through the years that like their guy, he's just gets mad all the time. The players, they're like always nice to me personally for some reason. I don't know.
Yeah, right.
But or not to me or anybody on the outside, but on the inside, it's hard to play for, that kind of thing. Mike Shula was the opposite. He was beloved. Nobody had anything bad to say about him, but you know, it's like that guy that, you know, is a good guy, but the work's just not there. And not only was he not maximizing, it was causing problems. And that was the concern in the back of your head for the life of me. I don't think anybody expected it. I think they just expected them to keep on keeping on, do what they did last year, right? Why change it? But they didn't. And so you got, like my wife says, you get what you get. You got what they got. And that's it. But yeah, I mean, from a player perspective, it was weird because, you know, the big problem with Satterfield was all this complexity. And it kind of reared its ugly head again. I'll say this, Dowell Loggins, from what I was told by some players, was not play call wise very complex. And you could tell, you know, Loggins' offense didn't go very far sometimes. Sometimes he got NFL conservative with a lead.
Yeah.
But you didn't have like the procedure penalties and stuff like that. It didn't look like a train wreck, you know. Even in the games they struggled, I think probably the 24 Ole Miss game was a little bit of rock bottom. Well, in that game, Lenoris and Rocket were probably like 70-80%. And Carolina drove it between the 20s all day.
You could move it. Yeah, just, I mean,
couldn't finish.
No resistance, right? Just
couldn't finish, you know. And so I guess what I want to say about that is it operationally, we talked all last year about the operational tempo. It was fine. You know, it was the way, you know, it was fine. Last year just wasn't that way. And then pre-snap of all these substitutions, it was just kind of like what was holding them back from 21 to 22.
Yeah.
You know, and it's unfortunate, but
it's in the past now. And you do just hate it for a good guy like Mike Shula, who everybody was wanting to succeed. But it just did not happen. Did not happen. X-Man says, I hate I missed the wing off. Supposed to be on vacation this week, but it fell through.
Yeah. Hate that, X-Man.
I've had vacations fall through before. For the more in the last 5-10 years than previously.
Right. Right.
For one reason or the other. You know,
there's always something, man.
Yeah. You know, Cam said utilization was the topic of conversation. Very respectful. I think this too. I think that on the subject of utilization, you know, sometimes it's a relatively simple game, Phil. Mm-hmm. Get the ball in the hands of your guys that can make plays. And the more you have, the more you can spread it around. If not, just you got to find a way to get the other guys the ball.
Yeah.
And with the tight ends specifically, now it's going to change. The tight ends are going to be a little more different this year than maybe in the past. Maybe from what we've seen around here for a while. I know Dowell used Josh Simon and Trey Knox kind of in a certain way. And I think some of that he actually picked up from Bryles. But basically, when just at its face, the tight end was attached or split, or it's just like, you know, and then before him, a lot of discussion about the tight ends.
Right.
Yeah. He might have used 13 personnel a lot, 3 tight ends on the field, which a lot of NFL teams sometimes do. But they were all tight ends. I mean, you know, it was so uncomfortable. Maybe that's not the right word, but using Jaheim Bell, who is listed as a tight end, who probably, you know, fellowships with the tight ends and practices with the tight ends. But he ain't a tight end. You know, he ain't lining up out there blocking an end or something. So they end up moving him to running back. You know what I'm saying? In this system, a guy like Maurice Brown, who kind of more like an H-back type, you use him a little different. You use Brady Hunt in a lot of different ways. You know, you got Max Drag, who's just a dude that likes to block and contact. I mean, he's in my understanding is Kendall Bryles likes to, I mean, depending on what the defense is doing, the tight end actually will line up in a lot of different ways, a lot of different methods. Just kind of depending on where you need him at. And they have a lot of diverse body types and diverse skill set guys. So, that's good. Never forget, Jaheim Bell was not part of the rally package in 2022 against Missouri.
That rally package.
Dude, I forgot about the rally
package. I know, I did too until Harrison.
Harrison, leave it to Harrison to remind us of things. I was telling my wife, because I got a chance to meet Harrison and his dad in person this weekend. And I was telling her about Harrison and what a fantastic job he does for us on the Big Spur and with stuff he does for Chief Sports. It's his internship this summer. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, Harrison is a great reminder. I was like, he's always there to remind me of things. I was like, he reminds me of me when I was younger. And the fact that he'll just recall things and like specifics. And if I'm off fact-wise.
Yeah, it's like he's got that.
He's got it going. Boom. There you go. But I'd forgotten all about the rally package, man. You know, and I was looking today. I was actually reading one of Harrison's articles, which is really good. Like if you talk about experience on the offensive line, Harrison went back, researched the data.
Yeah.
Let's just say this offensive line this year, and I don't know if it'll be good or not, but it's about 3 times as experienced as any O-line Beamer's had. Mm. But I forgot about Jazton Turner team. Starting a tackle.
Oh, right.
Mm-hmm. I forgot all about that guy. I'm like, man, I forgot. Yeah. So,
that's right. Pulling names out of a hat, you know.
I mean, I know a lot of, you know, because I was thinking about Jabari Ellis, who was on that team recently and stuff. I forgot all about Turner team. I just forgot all about it. And I was like, he did start there. Yeah, Cam said, happy to see the Uber debacle worked in my favor. Oh, man.
Yeah.
So I was charging my phone. Had a great Uber driver. He's a theater guy.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, yeah, did all this. He like, and you could tell because he got out the car and did the whole like, into like when they twirl their hand and be like, hello, I'm yes, that's exactly
with a flourish, you know, yeah, with a flourish.
And he gave me his card and you know, he's talking about us, but I was like, well, I need a charger, I'll charge it when we get to CB18, but let me use a charger. So then we got there, you know, and the event's starting, so I'm sitting there running my mouth, you know, oh, blah, 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 you be a thinger, man, you know. And I just got out of the car and forgot my phone. And, but we have Life 360 on all our phones.
Yeah, so like, you know where your phone
for the
is.
Family and all that. So I was like, oh. So I got Nat's phone. It was like Life 360. And then he was making his way back. And so then I called the phone and he answered me. He's like, I'm bringing you your phone back. I was like, yes. Awesome. Thank you, sir. I tipped him pretty good. But yes, Cam, because we had a lot of interesting Uber drivers in Columbia this weekend because we didn't rent a car. We were only there a couple of days. So we just Ubered everywhere. Mm-hmm. A lot of interesting people, including one at the end. Our last one that took us to the airport yesterday listens to the show.
Oh,
good guy. Nice. So shout out Mark if you're out there. but, you know, yeah. So thank goodness because I lost my phone at the Guns N' Roses concert in Atlanta in 16, because I had it charging over next to the wall. And we were on the floor, you know, and so I was trying to find a plug. It was an awesome concert. I wanted to take some video. Come back, it's gone. And I'm actually tracking it. I didn't have Life 360, but I had to find your iPhone.
Oh, right.
Somewhere over in the Lovejoy area of Atlanta. I was like, that thing's gone.
Yeah.
Had to go to Verizon on the way home.
Lost that to the game.
Yeah, lost in the game, dude. You're right. So, but yeah, that worked out. So, shout out to Joseph with a PH at the end.
All right,
Joseph the actor. I got his card too, so I found his card in my pocket. I was like, well, heck, I could have just called him directly. I'd forgotten I had his card. Nice. But anyway, we had a lot of fun this weekend. A lot of fun. So, Lance says, like the Reed stuff on Lenoris, the dude was built for it, just needed reps, and is going to do numbers this season. Yeah, and that's still a thing for me that's just what I'm, you know, because we talk all the time, and Matt Anderson, another shameless plug for an article on thebigspur.com, he had one that was he went back and looked at the pressure Lenoris faced statistically. Mm-hmm. This number of pressures, that number of pressures. And really what it ended up was any other quarterback in football, any level that faced that kind of pressure was not going to do well.
Right.
And we know the scheme and the blocking and all that. So it's easy to sit there all day, every day and go scheme, 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 which a lot of people interpret as masking over deficiencies, right? Oh, well. Everything's going to be hunky-dory and super-duper because, oh my, the scheme was, blame it all on Shula, and that's it. No, as Shane Beamer accurately points out, and I know sometimes when he says something that you may not want to hear, you know, everybody's kind of like, ah. But then eventually if you think about it, like, if you calm down and think through it, he's right. It's not all scheme. You know, if you go out there and do some of the things player-wise, make some of the same mistakes they made last year, that Browse won't have a good year here.
No.
That'll be it.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what he's running. But, Lance, to your point, one of the most important things for me is Lenoris never has really been asked consistently, and we saw this some when Mike Furry took over this past year.
Mm-hmm.
The quick game, the short passes. Loggins didn't do a whole lot of that. Shula definitely did not do a whole lot of that. Bubble screens and the like. That's a big part of this offense. And so his short passes aren't always necessarily things of beauty. Probably because he hadn't done it a whole lot.
Right.
That's going to be important. The RPO games that they've run, and I wish I could tell you every play that's an RPO and every play that's not, but I'm not that smart. And then there's some that are designed to look like RPOs that aren't. So anybody that really tells you that, you know, that they know that that's an, they may be right 70, 80% of the time. I'm probably right like 30 on that. I'm not going to sit here and tell you I know. But when you look back on it and you kind of follow up about this, that, I don't know, you know, sometimes you'd have an RPO that clearly was an RPO. And the handoff was maybe when he should have thrown it, or throw it when it should have been a handoff. I think a lot of that too is the pacing of the offense. Like, right. if you don't pace it right, and you're slow and substituting and all that, the defense can adjust. And you know, a lot of, I guess, foundationally, the RPO game, from how I've had it explained to me, the quarterback simply counting. There's six in the box. Okay, that's a heavy box. So we're going to probably throw it. Well, it's a light box, so we're going to hand it off. Or there's tags onto it where he can keep it. When you see something open there, just go. Just go, man. Just go. It's a Dumb and Dumber quote.
Just go. For you.
So, you know, when you look at it that way, it's a situation where he's got to do that right, and you got to do it very fast. And if he's not used to it, you know, that may be something that, you know, it becomes a work in progress this season. You know, all that said, though, it's not, you know, my understanding is this offense is not that hard to master verbiage wise and things like that. Well, you can't have 21 word play calls.
No.
If you're going to go fast, I mean, it doesn't make any sense. So if time is of the essence, the less words, the better. And then most college offenses are, but you know, so the RPO game, the reads, to your point, Lance, and also those short passes, just fundamentally, you know, locking in on the fundamentals with his arm, are two things I'm looking for him from him this year. And then in kind of an obvious thing too, the operational tempo of the game. Is he aligned with that? It's going to be much easier for him to get aligned with that this year than last year. And yeah. And because the operational tempo of this offense, a lot, think about the Clemson game, and they weren't running a bunch of tempo and no huddle at Clemson that year, but think about how locked in physically he was.
Right. Right.
Because he knew, I think they all knew, that Clemson's defensive line, no joke. That year in 24. Carolina's offensive line,
Cardacho, I'm going to say that it's average.
It's average. It was at best. And in that game, there were some moments where some very good players looked very average because Peter Woods was killing them.
Right.
And so I think they knew that. And so it was like, listen, don't give this a lot of time. Just go play. And you saw what, 166 rushing yards.
Play
and
free, then, right? Yeah.
And Clemson, now Clemson had a completely different game plan against him this year. Completely different. They have a new defensive coordinator. Clemson played them just kind of like everybody else did. This year, everybody was like, you know, all right. So this year, everybody was like, we're not going to let Lenoris beat us with his
life. Yeah, that's right.
Because they've all seen that tape. You know, they can't really – you got – And so the challenge becomes, well, we got to pressure him because we need to pressure him, but we also can't let him run past that pressure. You can't just jailbreak, you know, we're just going to blitz. And so they'd spy a lot with their linebackers and things like that. And then the counter to that, I believe, ended up being, well, we're just going to make him sit in the pocket and get his head taken off and wait until the last minute somebody breaks open. And that just wasn't going
to work either.
There are some quarterbacks who could have done it. I don't know, under that kind of pressure. I don't know, but some quarterbacks, they just sit there and take a beating all day when really, if you're going to substitute, use formation, stuff like something like, And I don't know if Lenoris makes it through the season if they did this. More like what Buster Faulkner was using at Georgia Tech with Haynes King. I would not have wanted to see Lenora Sellers take the beating that Haynes King did.
No, no.
But something like that where, yeah, but then if all else fails, we're just going to run him and do that. So
that's like a good rookie running back in the NFL. That was that usage, right? Yeah, just give it to him again. Just run him into the ground. If he lives, he lives. If he dies, he dies.
If he dies, he dies. So, anyway, Lance says Lenora's system's happier when the game flow is faster. And yeah, it is. And even in high school, you know, Lenora's wasn't like a big Bruin, I'll tell you this. He was more of a passer in high school. But that offense they ran at South Florence, they weren't slow.
No.
You know? X-Men, I did see that Wesley Saunders has a reality TV show on Netflix where he's in one. I'm happy for him, too. Speaking of people to be happy for. Mm. Wesley's been through a lot, man. He's kept a smile on his face, kept going.
Yeah.
We had him on the show. JB interviewed him. It was really, really good. Really, really good. All right, more McKellar Enterprises chat box here on the show. A lot of football talk today. I think JB got through something. He talked baseball earlier.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, yeah. Kind of dove in on the Craddock situation there. Yeah.
Craddock situation. And shortstop from Wake Forest coming in.
Big position to need, man.
Some people will look at his stats and go, well, he only hit whatever, 244, but he hit 305 in ACC play.
Right.
So, which makes me think. They had trouble making slow to make the adjustments, right? If the non-conference was that bad. That's okay. Nah, he's supposed to be a really good, like, defensive shortstop. Which they need a shortstop. I mean, and I'll take a good defensive shortstop next year.
Yeah, please.
So, I mean, they'd have beaten Arkansas in Monty Lee's first game if they had one of those.
Yeah, they'd have won a couple of games if they'd had one. They'd won one of the Georgia games, I think.
It just was not a good year. That was another decision that was made that just didn't quite work.
No, I know. I didn't understand that one.
Decisions, decisions, my friend. We are all a function of them in life.
True.
So, Matt says, JB didn't answer earlier, but do we know if Stuart Lake going back with the booth or getting help with the players again? He's, I believe, I don't want to speak for him, but last I heard, he's back in the booth, back working for the Gamecock Club. So he's still employed. And that was part of the deal when he went on the field this year is, hey, I don't want to be on the field, and then, you know, I can't go back to my old gig. But they worked that
right
out.
Yeah.
Which is good. I think the University of South Carolina is a better place when Stuart Lake's involved.
For sure.
He's that kind of person. I mean, just – I can't say enough good. He makes me laugh, too. He's hilarious, Stuart Lake. All right. We'll be back with the short final segment of the show after this.
Welcome back, everybody, inside the Gamecocks, the show rolling on here on a Wednesday. Man, I don't even know what day it is, JC. I'm going crazy.
Well, it's because we took the meatloaf tag off of Meatloaf Monday.
That is true. Yeah, it's not. I set it up to where there was no meatloaf today, so that's okay. We'll figure it out. We only have this week to muddle through, and then we'll have 2 weeks to recharge and reset.
Reset.
At least on the show end of things. We'll still be active on the on the boards YouTube. And the bigspur.com. So yeah, we'll be there.
And don't forget YouTube.
Oh no, I won't. I've got some evergreen interviews and things that'll be dropping on YouTube. So if you missed like A1 talking about Lenora Sellers or, you know, any of our talking ball guys talking ball, then yeah, we'll load that up.
Yes. So hey, the wife just sent me an email. I guess her work is having a White Sox baseball outing.
Oh.
When the Braves come back to town.
Hey, nice.
Yeah, they got a game rained out, so they rescheduled it for August 20th.
Sweet.
It's a day game. It's a Thursday, so I won't be on the show that day.
Okay.
I'll probably miss Friday too.
We'll plan ahead.
Anyway, but anyway, yeah. So that was good. Rob says I can do one if we need to, but I have to be off by 1:30. Then I'm in the clear. I'm sorry. I'm reading text. I shouldn't read. Right.
That's funny.
We gotta. I don't know why. I mean, you know, my brain just kept doing it. Mm-hmm. Cam says, is there a tailgate or kickoff party in the works for this year? Okay, so we've never done a kickoff party with the big with anything we do.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We do tailgates later. Mm-hmm. We did one for Missouri last year. I think we're going to bring that back this season. Gamecock Central does a kickoff party, though.
Oh.
I don't know if they do it last year or not. I'm not sure, but it's a raucously good. It's a good time. So I have to check on that. So obviously we'll be with part of their kickoff.
Yeah, we'll just, invade their.
I think Mad Dog and JB and those folks will be there for that. I'm planning my travel for the fall, and those first two games are not on my travel list. And I'm probably never traveling anywhere on a holiday weekend again, ever.
You know, that's not bad.
I thought, you know, Labor Day in Atlanta and Charlotte were fine, you know, to a certain extent. Thanksgiving this past year? Oh, my good, dear sweet brother Nipsey.
No.
So, X said, I thought you guys did a kickoff party for UNC in 2023. Yeah, that was with Carolina Rise. That was an NIL thing. Wasn't necessarily the show. Although, same bunch of people, you know, we were all part of it. That was great.
Mm-hmm.
Friend Corey Miller really helped me with that. And we had Mark Bryan from Hugh Hootie and the Blowfish, and great barbecue from Nana's Porch, and lots of prizes and raised some money and all that good stuff. But that was good. Oh, Bessinger and Hope are having a contest, a talk about me wanting to. Me needing to enter the wing eating contest.
Yeah, somebody mentioned that earlier today. You should enter the wing eating contest.
Well, no, because I'm fun. And look, CB18 has my kind of wings. Don't get me wrong; they're very good. But I'm funny about wings. That's why I like these so much. Is they do it right, but then there's some place like Buffalo Wild Wings. I'm a boneless all the way. I can't do those wings. The bone in, I'm just super picky. So I probably wouldn't want to do it. And if I get a batch of wings I don't like, I'm probably gonna eat one. So but anyway. Bigger picture, I probably need to get past the point in my life where people are encouraging me to enter the wing eating contest. Something I need to. I understand why people are saying that now.
That's right. I get it.
I get it.
All these shots y'all were taking here. No.
I'm like, hopefully I could just maybe get past that point soon. Oh, Blake says I want to tailgate for the Tennessee game. I'll be in town. So, you know, X-Man said the 2023 in Charlotte was great until the game. Yeah. Things took a turn once the game started.
We all had a great time, though.
In many ways. Lance said the Missouri game in 2024 was legendary. The tailgate, the game. It was a core memory night for sure. Yeah, I got to meet Lance's mom
there. Right, yeah.
And we had a club chief ITG party over at Loose Cockaboos. It was my stepson's first game. At Williams-Brice. It was a nice early evening kickoff. I got to see the really cool when it go to the night version.
Yep.
And the whole stadium, like there's not even any words. It's like the stadium is alive and just going to night version. It's really cool. And then the game and how it ended. But Steven says, love you guys. I wasn't trying to call you fat. Oh, no. I'll freely admit it. I'm under no bones. Because, I mean, you know, that's it's crazy. Is I've spent a lot of money to get like this.
That's right. Yeah.
Chicago food.
Put in the work.
Harrison's buddy's banned from the Loose Cockaboos. Well, you can, yeah, there's some things you just don't do there. Like, and it usually concerns people who are not of age. And I back them up on that too, man, because they that type of bar on a game day and stuff is under surveillance. You know, they could get in serious trouble. Yeah, and with insurance and stuff these days, you don't want to mess around with that.
Heightened scrutiny.
So Cam went to the Gamecock Central kickoff party last year. It was a good time. So it was last year. Okay. It was at the brewery, Still Hands Brewery, Cam, I think is what it was.
Okay.
Matt says, I think you were looking kind of buff in the pictures of you there at the thing. Well, in the one picture of me and Cornbread Cowboy, my fat looked like muscle.
Yeah.
In some ways. That
was a good shot, man. That was a good picture of y'all.
Yeah. I didn't edit it or anything. Cause there's another one with Nat and I, where you can see my true body type. Yeah, I've taken enough of those when I'm in shape that I look fat in, and I'm like, well, I guess everything just kind of works out every day. You know, it all evens out. So,
that's right. You only need to take pictures with tall people.
Yeah.
Right. You know, yeah. Mm-hmm. Tall people.
Oh, Harrison says D's and Carolina Wings, the two best in the Midlands. So, yeah. Dexter says the only two options, Harrison. So, oh, goodness gracious. So, yep, ID and all that good stuff is important at certain places. So, anyway, but yeah, great time in Columbia with everybody there. And all that good stuff. So big recruiting weekend this weekend too, by the way. I'll go back, circle back and touch on that a little bit. A lot of confidence. I don't say a lot because, well, you say a lot of confidence and then if it doesn't go your way, which it could. And everybody's like, well, I thought they had a lot of confidence, a lot. Let's just say there's confidence that they did all they could and they're sitting in good shape with Josh Dobson. You know, Nate Carson, I think they all had fantastic visits. They mostly always do. What you want to look for is, and the parents, some of the parents, Josh Dobson's mom actually tweeted something like this, like the family atmosphere and the relationships and the likability. And see, that's why they're struggling in recruiting.
Right.
Because that's the draw. You're really in quite a pickle with this because it's like, well, that's the draw, you know, because most of these guys they're recruiting have offers from the whole SEC and ACC. I mean, you know, it's no, if you took the people out of the schools, the coaches out of the schools, I mean, I guess money would be a factor, but it's not, you know, everything's kind of the same, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so that's the problem. It's like, you know, they do such a good job building those authentic relationships. And the more that matters and the more you think that might not be in place, the more you can get in your head and you can do it. Now, I'm going to say this too. I think some coaches, if opposing coaching staffs use that, that's not dirty or unethical. Carolina's used it before too.
Yeah. I mean, that's an unfortunate reality you find yourself in. That's all fair. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. I've seen some comments. Well, they're just dirty recruiters. It's not dirty. It's normal, really. And what they do is when it's written down, like when Athlon puts it out there or whatever, you don't have to say it. You just say, hey, look at this. Well, I don't know.
Preseason magazines are saying that this coach is on the hot seat. I don't know. It's the lies and just, you know, direct, I don't know, untruths that get told that are bad. I mean,
there are some untruths.
Yeah, that's different. But you can't make up the team's coming off a 4-8 season. That's not very good.
You say, well, they're 5-7 2 years ago. So, I mean, I get it. But now there's some other things that cross the line that are kind of, you hear less about that these days, though, because it's just so much more like the teams that recruit in a manner that I would not,
Like, I'm like, what are they doing? You know, are the teams that will like hand a high school kid $1.5 million?
Right. Yeah, that's, I was going to say, how much does NIL just do away flush with a lot of that? You know,
light that. If you light that on fire, you may have a better chance of keeping it. So, anyway, Lance said, hanging out with Corbett, Hornberg Cowboy, they share a history of 1A football pride. Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
Williston Elko.
I hate Johnson. I missed that.
Yeah, we missed you, Mad Dog. We
really I did. Know, man.
It would have been amazing. It was amazing. So, I guess we should get out of here.
Yeah, it's time to
don't forget, tomorrow is Terrible Tuesday. Lance was a game away from playing against Cornbread Cowboy in 03. Yeah.
Nice. Playoffs.
Oh, game. Yeah. Harrison said Cornbread's a super dude. He is. He is. He's laid back. It's always a good hang. Really enjoyed hanging out with him and everybody this weekend. So, thanks for coming in for the Wing Off. Well, we'll be back tomorrow. Coffee tomorrow. The show tomorrow. ITG. That good stuff. As we truck into vacation time.
Yes.
We're into a hiatus. Last show. Last episode of ITG is Friday. Then we'll be back. SEC Media Days. 2 weeks. We do it every year. But this year you can catch us online. BigSpur.com, GamecockCentral.com. You're still joined for $1 or on YouTube. So it's going to be around, just not streaming live to you every day. All right. For the Mad Dog, Phil Mullinex, JC Sherbert, this has been ITG, the show portion. And we'll see you tomorrow. Hopefully, it's not so terrible. Later on, folks.